Log Talk Radio.
What you working for? Going hard. A big house, a new car. Lead your life like a Hollywood star. But do you know who you are? Or do you know what your purpose on earth is? All the materials you worship is worthless. It ain't about money, cars, and clothes, and everything that glitter ain't gold.
Hustle, hustle, hustle. What are you hustling for? You say it's all about the money and not perfection of your soul. In the gutter where your mind at? Ooh, I bet the devil like that. We let him have his fun, but now we got him on the run. Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar. Sublime with the punchline, spiritual warrior, live from the front line. My third eye is precise as a bird's eye. Everything looks small, that's what I call fly. Before your past words gotta decode it, I'm lyrical with minds. Witness the explosion. The mouthpiece carries 16 rounds. Every 16 bars, another MC down. Do what I wanna do, the architect told me to. Destroy all you sellouts and who you sold it to. I came to bring the game, freedom and justice. Ain't no equality, ain't nobody hot as me. The techniques and bias to my survival. Lyrically, I can go my life unrivaled. Microphone checker, the diabolic one is the oppressor. But in this case, we the aggressor. I'm on the higher echelon, enlightenment. The sun is absorbed by my melanin. Black jaguars, we the best, gotta represent. Devils hate to see a black man with intelligence. Praise to Allah, I deliver the message with poetic justice, rhythm and eloquence. He left his message with those who believe it happened in the divine rhyme scheme of things. They won't beef, but I'm a vegetarian. One nation under God, soldier, Samaritan. Now everybody raise your right hand and say, permission to fall in to Muhammad right.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
A man, Mr. Jaguar.
A man, Mr. Jag.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder and our miss, our comforter, our leader, our teacher, and our guide. And I greet all of you, the listening audience, as well as our distinguished host and panelists, in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And it is my distinct privilege, honor, and pleasure to present to you my brother, my minister, my friend, a diamond amongst CFOI, and one who is dedicated to teaching are assisting the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in reaching our people with the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Our brother and our beloved host, Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister and Queen Aziza. It's very wonderful again to receive such a magnificent audience. And I understand that our co-panelists are present, Brother Dimitrik, Brother Maurice, and Brother Eddie. Are you all there?
Yes.
All
yes,
praises
sir.
Due to Allah.
Yes.
I want to welcome, yes, sir. I want to welcome my esteemed panelists. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on this show. We want to get right into it, and always we open up in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. We bear witness that there is no God but He, and we are forever thankful and grateful for His manifestation in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, and raising up from our midst His Messiah, the one whom the world has been awaiting and expecting for the past 2,000 years. I know that it was not anticipated that he would be a black man from among the former slaves, and even less was it expected or anticipated that he would be a Muslim. The man of whom I speak is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been blessed to have and to be given a son, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I refer to him as my personal redeemer. He is warner, he is deliverer, he is comforter and reminder, and he, of course, is our teacher. I am proud, so very proud and grateful to be a student of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And it is he who is the causative factor of anything that we say of any relevance, of any good, of any inspiration, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In their names, their family, once again, I greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Well, Brother Maurice, let me say it's wonderful to hear your voice. It's been a long time since you've been on the show, and I'm very, very happy for you to be here. He is our five-star general of the most prolific group in defense of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, called the Defenders of Farrakhan. But I will allow you to introduce yourself, dear brother, say a little bit about yourself before we get started into the subject matter. Brother Maurice Muhammad.
Thank you, Brother James, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be back amongst you all again. And again, yes, I am the leader of the Defenders of Farrakhan group, five-star general, Brother Maurice Muhammad, and it's always a beauty and a pleasure to come to be able to serve in whatever manner possible to help the people understand the truth. And again, I thank you all for allowing me to come and be a part of the panel.
All praises due to Allah. The honor and pleasure and privilege is ours. And, of course, my brother Eddie, whom I love and who I am edified by whenever I hear him speak and offer an exegesis of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which, of course, is one and the same. Brother Eddie, present yourself.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Well, first of all, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, it is an honor and a privilege to be among the best of the best. I count myself lucky to be worthy to share one or two words with such esteemed brothers who have been chosen by Master Farag Muhammad, and I mean that in the deepest of truth. Again, it's a pleasure. Thank Sister Aziza, Queen Aziza, Brother James, Brother Dimitri, I'm saying it incorrectly, the defenders of Farrakhan. Most impressive work, brother, and our other panelists. So I want to thank you, and I'm ready to get down to it.
Yes, sir. Thank you again, Brother Eddie. And last but most certainly not least, here is a brother, in my humble estimation, is a profound defender of truth. And simultaneously, of course, a defender of that bearer of truth, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in an inarguable way, presenting facts, figures, statistics, insight into the man, not only statistically, but also spiritually, scripturally, and prophetically. We are blessed to be in the presence of our beloved brother and student minister, Dimitri Muhammad, who has the esteemed position of being a member of the research team of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So much of what you hear in the minister's delivery of his 52-week installment lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done, he has been assisted in its organization and also in the discovery, if you will, of the information that the minister shares with us. Our brother Dimitri Muhammad is responsible in part for that. And so we thank Allah for you, dear brother, and thank you for agreeing to be a part of this show. Brother Dimitri?
Thank you, Brother James. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure, and it's a privilege to have the opportunity to come on with yourself and all of the brothers and different guests and panelists that come on, put on the new man, Block Talk Radio program. I think it's a wonderful program that needs to be promoted and widely celebrated for its content and its real sincere effort to help Minister Farrakhan in this most critical of hours. And so I thank Allah and I thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for giving me the opportunity and the privilege to assist and help in whatever way we can. And I look forward to our conversation tonight.
All praise is due to Allah. I want to also add, although it probably is much to the reluctance of Brother Dimitri for me to announce this, but Brother Dimitri, by the grace of Allah, is celebrating, I think, your 38th birth anniversary today?
It's actually tomorrow,
tomorrow.
38th.
Oh, praise be to Allah. And, of course, we are thankful to Allah that he blessed you to see another year. And so I know that many of us, particularly as Muslims, are under the impression that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has instructed us that we don't celebrate birth anniversaries or birthdays, and as such, sometimes when one is mentioned in a celebratory or complimentary manner, we are quick to correct, and brother, we don't celebrate the birthdays. But the reality of it is the minister stated that we have to justify a celebration of our birth anniversary by doing something of consequence that impacts positively on other people. You see, well, in my humble estimation, and since the celebratory announcement is coming from me, in my humble opinion, Brother Dimitri is worthy of our announcement and to celebrate it. He's a helper of God's servant and the servant of the Christ. He dedicates himself, his time, his talents, his gifts, his skills and resources, and I'm sure whatever he can spare of his finance to the cause of the rise of our people. That is noteworthy. And anytime you can walk with a man who is suffering the slings and arrows of media attacks, censorship by the enemies, great enemies, powerful enemies, and a constant barrage of vilification and excoriation in both the written and electronic media. But you walk with that man and you promote that man and you're public with your promotion and support. And not only promoting and supporting him, but announcing to the world who he is. So I think that's worthy of us taking note, taking time to note your birth anniversary, Brother Dimitri. And anybody wants to argue with that, you certainly can argue, but you won't win.
Well, I thank Allah and I thank my mother because, you know, she never lets me forget the great difficulty she had bringing me to birth. So I certainly thank her for all that she did and pray that my life will have given some meaning to her suffering. And certainly thank you, Brother James, for remembering me on this day. Like many of us, I would imagine oftentimes this day sneaks up on us as we have our head down doing whatever it is that we do to make life better for our families. And so I'm always appreciative whenever someone remembers this day. It's certainly not a a day that, you know, any of us should take lightly. And I think that more than anything, whenever we come to birth physically, one of the things I like to always reflect on is when I came to birth mentally and spiritually in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I always like to track to see how many years post that mental and spiritual resurrection that I have versus the pre-days of mental and spiritual resurrection. Hopefully, I'm better as a result of my coming to spiritual birth than I would have been if I had remained in my present condition. In fact, I know I am, but only Allah can judge. But I just wanted to thank you, Brother James, for acknowledging that.
All praise is due to Allah. And please, please share with Mom that we said we thank Allah for her and for her bringing you into the world.
I certainly
all
will,
praises,
brother.
All praises due to Allah. All right, let us get into the subject matter by the grace of Allah. And, of course, those of us whose heads have not been literally buried in the sand or living under a rock or on some deserted island, we are aware of what has been raging in the headlines in the news, again, both electronic and periodical. And that, of course, is what's happening in Syria and our response to what is alleged to have been committed by the Syrian government, specifically Bashar al-Assad, that is gassing his people, using or deploying chemical weapons against his own people. And, of course, the response of America, which is always the response of, I would say, a bully, one that has taken on itself the arrogation that they have the right to interfere into the government activities of other sovereign nations, invited or uninvited. It makes no difference, even though America would never tolerate that if anyone tried to perpetrate that against her. And even in the face of laws that govern and actually restrict her involvement in the way she wants to involve herself, it makes no difference. She just feels like she has the manifest right or manifest destiny to do so. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in light of this, in the 34th installment of The Time and What Must Be Done, he focused on what he terms America's errant foreign policy. So important was this subject matter, is this subject matter, to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that he had a rebroadcast of this installment on Sunday, last Sunday, and then instructed us to conduct the question and answer period after the broadcast was viewed. So this is critical. It also was not lost on me, if you will, the apparent silence or absence of other quote-unquote black leaders weighing in on the subject matter, particularly prominent Christian preachers. I hadn't heard, and I don't know if you all have heard anything, but I haven't heard anybody say a mumbling word. Perhaps I've missed something, but I watch the news, I read the news. I haven't heard any statements made, and please correct me if I'm wrong. But I want to address the possible why and wherefore of that, and we want to talk again about the minister's warning to America regarding her announced and anticipated response to Bashar al-Assad, his regime, and the Syrian people. So, let us open up the floor. I want to start with you, Student Minister Dimitri. Please, if you would set the tone, and I'll just start with you.
Brother James, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
I think that this is such an important issue, and you certainly hit the nail on the head when you mentioned the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's directing his staff to rebroadcast Part 34, essentially, as also Part 35, as well as the Sunday broadcast for our nation, because this gives us an opportunity to see the minister conduct really one of the most important aspects of his work, which is as a warner to the nations. And he has certainly functioned as a warner to the nations historically. But as America and the world considers its future in light of the Arab Spring, in light of the latest chapter in the Arab Spring, the Syrian conflict, Minister Farrakhan's words are very, very pregnant. They're very, very timely. And Brother James, you pointed out that we don't hear, you know, it appears that the minister is singing a solo in terms of leaders of other organizations, pastors, and other clergy all appear to be somewhat mute in this hour. And so much of that comes from the blind allegiance to our brother, President Barack Obama, and his effect on neutralizing what has always been a strong anti-war sentiment coming from the black community. And so, you know, this hopefully helps us to understand more of why you hear Minister Farrakhan say that our brother was selected before he was elected, because now it appears as though the international bankers, the neocons, those who constitute the hidden government are able to do and carry out their plans, aims, and objectives without having that core community, which is really the soul of America, the black community. We are really the soul of this country. We are really this country's conscience, and we are always the most vocal in terms of crying out and protesting and demonstrating and agitating for justice, for fairness, for equality, whether it's domestic or international. And so due to the leaders of various groups, whether it is Reverend Sharpton, Mark Morial, Ben Jealous, and others, right down to your local ministers who may be 2 or 3 degrees separate from them, but are certainly in their downline of influence, we have a blind deference to the policies coming through the mouth of a black president, but certainly are not necessarily originating in his heart and his mind. And so it's great subterfuge and misdirection, if you will, on the part of the hidden government to quell and neutralize black voices of dissent when historically, whether it be the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, you name it, black people and black leaders have always opposed America's war efforts, specifically those that understood that the black struggle in America was intimately connected to the struggle and the aims and the causes of black, brown, red, and yellow people around the globe. And I cannot help but think about World War II when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and several other different groups had their leadership and their membership arrested and rounded up because they were branded as Japanese sympathizers. And in truth, we were Japanese sympathizers, those of us in the Nation of Islam, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had taught us from the root of our religious teaching and training that the Japanese people constituted the brown man, and he was our brother. And so we had allegiance with Japan. We had I won't say allegiance, but we were our heart and our sympathy was with the Japanese people, and we have always had something of a black world view, those of us in the Nation of Islam. And so in 1942, once in May and another time in September, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was arrested. In September, there was also the arrest of many of his ministers. There was also the arrest of many of the male followers of the Nation of Islam. And so being that's a part of our history. And so many have thought about and wondered if the minister's outspokenness in this hour does not force the president to function as a Pontius Pilate type, having the minister arrested for really our violations of the Espionage Act of 1917 and the Selective Service and Training Act of 1940, which expressly forbids any interference into the induction process of the American war. These are some of the provisions under which the government used to arrest the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because he was instructing essentially black men and women to resist induction into the military. And so he was taken off the streets. And so we know that the minister is walking in the footsteps of his teacher. He's also walking in the footsteps of the prophets of old. He walks in the footsteps of all great political revolutionaries. So those of us who study and follow him closely, there is something of an expectation that he will have a more pronounced conflict with the U.S. government that may include arrest. So I would just put a pin in it at this point, because just to say that This is a critical time. It's a very intriguing time. And it's a time for all of us to pay real close attention to the minister and to do our best to spread his message, because the spreading of his message in an unfiltered way helps to prepare the masses of the people for the propaganda that will come against him. And that's what we want to do. We want to prepare the earth. We want to prepare the masses of the people to swallow up the flood of lies and not be affected by it, and allow a good man to come to perish at the hands of the American government.
Yes, thank you, Brother Dimitri. Thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful insight. Okay, Brother Maurice, I'd like to hear you weigh in on this same subject matter there, brother.
Yes, sir, Bless. And I'll just say, you know, the black leadership likes to be in the hands of the political powers that be. And unfortunately for our people, that's not always what's in the best interest of our people. So we have Minister Farrakhan, the only real black leader on the planet, that's consistently pointing out the right way, not just for us, but for America as well. And it's so important that our people and all people just take a minute and just listen to some real clarity, because all of us know we didn't see the quote unquote intelligence that they had on Iraq. But everything that Minister Farrakhan said you would meet, they met it. So it would seem to me that they would use some intelligence and listen to a man who has not been wrong, because he'll tell you what it is before you see it. And then once you read it, then you know you done messed up. So, you know, it's incumbent upon us to listen so that we may live. And, you know, for us trying to join up to go to some other country and fight when our battle is right here, it is, you know, we really need to listen to that one voice that's out there, and that is Minister Farrakhan, because no leader puts it on the line like he does for our people. Thank you, Blood.
Thank you, Brother Maurice. And I must say that people may have, some in our listening audience may have an inclination to think that, well, of course, they're going to extol their leader, you know, their teacher. But the truth of the matter is his voice is the voice that's being heard. We're listening for others to weigh in on these subject matters, but it is obviously absent. Their voice is obviously absent. So what we say is not only because, of course, he's our leader, and we respect, admire, and love him, but the truth of the circumstance is exactly what we are saying. His voice is the only voice that we're hearing in the black community, in black leadership, regarding these matters. And what it does, Brother Maurice, Brother Dimitri, Brother Eddie, is it smacks of the same circumstance indicating the response of the so-called leadership at the time of our beloved brother Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he began to speak against the war in Vietnam. Same circumstance. All the preachers were conspicuously quiet, obviously and apparently absent. And history seems to be repeating itself. But thank you, Brother Maurice. And now let's go to our dear brother Eddie X. You have the floor. Brother Eddie? Did we lose him, sis?
No, sir. I'm looking at him. Maybe he's on mute. So, Brother Eddie, check your phone. Okay. I'll try to get back with him, Brother James. You can proceed.
Thank you, sis. We certainly want to hear his perspective and his insight in this matter. You know.
Okay. Someone playing music. I'm sorry, because I'm getting some interference. I want to make sure if it's coming off the iron line or whether it's coming from somewhere else.
No. I know exactly where it's coming from. Hold on. Okay, I think we've remedied the problem.
Yes, sir.
Now, what I was going to say, as we await Brother Eddie's arrival and his weigh-in on this, is that not only is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan calling America to account for the veracity of what she says, the government is saying, or the truthfulness of what they are saying. You know, they have a history of alleging that nations with whom America has a problem are always... are always demonized as doing something that is inhumanitarian, egregious, something that violates the civil or human rights of their people. Really, they're excoriated and demonized by America. And then the next thing, of course, is a proposed attack. We witnessed that in Iraq with the so-called weapons of mass destruction that they never found, but it didn't matter. America is just pulling out of Afghanistan. And history records a consistency in America's enemies. All of them natural resources producing nations that America uses in abundance. That is not by accident, certainly not a coincidence. And these Muslim countries that America in the last few decades has been focusing on are Muslim countries that produce that precious and much coveted oil. Well, I've just been notified that Brother Eddie is with us. I'd like him now to weigh in. I'll pin in the statements I was making. And Brother Eddie,
assalamu alaikum.
You have the mic. Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, well, good. I apologize for that. I cut out right after Brother Maurice got finished. So I apologize for that. Had a slight issue with my cellular device. But I'd like to pick up and say, first of all, it's difficult to follow behind students of Minister Farrakhan because we're so thorough in our answers and replies. But I will follow the same token. You know, the other leaders.
Brother Eddie, we're losing you again. Brother, can you speak up?
Can you hear me fine?
I can hear you, but your voice fades. I know that's how I'm receiving. I don't know about everyone else.
How about, is that better?
It's a bit improved. Yeah, go ahead. I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Loud and clear.
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Okay, I can hear you better now. Go ahead.
All right. But the other leaders, they're not the chosen. Minister Farrakhan said, and forgive me as I get back into fluidity, Minister Farrakhan said that many of you will not be successful as I am because you do not have the divine authorization. And he also said that Satan, or rather Minister Ishmael said this, Minister Ishmael said that Satan only recognizes and only comes out in the presence of God. Anything less, he makes other little devils to deal with, or he makes them themselves devils. So okay, when we talk about, and in response to what Minister James says about the idea of some of us to think that we simply only extol Minister Farrakhan, we're not extolling him for a religious belief or a religious purpose, but we recognize a man who is made to take on, point out, call out, and war with Satan himself and all of his doings. So in this particular event that we are dealing with, the war on Syria, you know, this is a major, major happening. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that her power, America's power, will be broken in war. And Minister Farrakhan has said that the repercussions of this war will be unlike any other that America has had. So we're looking at America standing on the precipice of something that will remove her power and remove her status as the military power of the world. That's a major turning point. And what man of God who reads the scriptures does not recognize that? And so he has to be pointed out because he's the only one, period, who is doing that. And he is the only one who recognizes that. Mr. Abe Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League said that he is the only leader in the black and brown communities. Now, the voice of Satan has pointed out that this is the only man that they have to deal with. So everyone else has been excluded, not just, or rather not by us, but by our enemy. Because when an enemy tells you that you are no longer a factor, that you are ineffective, then you're not in the game at all to begin with. And the second thing I wanted to say about that is that the Bible says, would a man rob God? And Jesus said that all that came before me were robbers and thieves. So every other leader must be said to be a robber and a thief. And what do I mean when I say that? God came in this dispensation of time, as the scripture teaches, to deliver his people from the grip of their former slave masters and to deliver the world from the grip of Satan. But to do that is to be done by the truth. So the book says, Jesus talking, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So anyone that comes not speaking the truth or hindering the truth or totally seeking to remove the presence of truth, either proactively or passively, is like the robber and thieves who is robbing God of the souls that he has come to redeem and come to save, trying to rob God of his work and his mission and of progress in bringing his will into fruition. So we have to recognize Minister Farrakhan, and especially with an event like this that's going on, that dangers to bring about everything in fullness of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has told us will happen and that we read about in the book of Revelations. We have to recognize that man, not because of just our religion or our being registered Muslims, but because we recognize a man who is speaking and doing the work that no one else is doing, even those who claim to be voices of God. And that's how I'll put a pin in it there, as Ms. James said.
Well, I appreciate that, Brother Eddie. And what I was going to get into before you came back on was some of what others in the media, not of the black community, but others of the broader white community and in the media world as such, are saying regarding this situation. I refer particularly to the global research article by David Swanson that appeared in an August 25th writing. And the writing is entitled Lying About Syria and the Lying Liars Who Lie About the Lying. Now, it reads, this article, U.S. prepares, rather, for a possible retaliatory strike against Syria, announces the Los Angeles Times headline, even though Syria has not attacked the United States or any of its occupied territories or imperial forces and has no intention to do so. Threatening to attack Syria, it continues, and moving ships into position to do it are significant and illegal and immoral actions. The president can claim not to have decided to push the button, but he can't pretend that all the preparations to do so just happen like the weather. These are words of the writer of the article, Mr. Swanson. Mr. Swanson then quotes Chapter 1, Article 2, Principle Number 4 of the Charter of the United Nations, signed on June 26, 1945, enforced on October 24, 1945. The statute of the International Court of Justice is an integral part of the Charter, which reads, all members shall refrain in their international relations from the threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state or in any other manner inconsistent with the purposes of the United Nations. The UN Charter, like the American Constitution, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan states, is gradually being ripped to shreds, so there is no more international law and order, just the law and order of the powerful against the weak, both in the world and now in the United States of America. I'll stop there, and Brother Dimitri, if you can comment on that and lead us into opening up the floor of our listening audience, both on the phone and online. Brother Dimitri?
Yes, sir. Well, certainly, Mr. Swanson accurately describes the situation at hand. And, it's something to really ponder and think about the posture of the U.S. government with respect to Syria and to other countries of involving themselves in what all media accounts have said is a civil war. And, just in a real Pollyannish or naive kind of way, one wonders, if such a foreign power were to begin to take such a strong interest in an American civil war, what would the response of the U.S. government, what would the response of President Obama be? It's always interesting to me. Again, I'm a novice at geopolitics and certainly don't consider myself to be sophisticated in international affairs, but, one wonders why is it that our government always takes the side of rebels. a very interesting phenomenon that our government always takes the side of rebels. A rebel, by definition, is one who bucks the rule of law. And yet America claims to be a nation governed by laws.
Go ahead, brother.
It's rather interesting that, you know, there is no consideration. There is not even the expression of the viewpoint of the legitimized government in Syria or in any of the other countries where our government has went in and seemingly by default taken the side of rebels, rebels who essentially behave like rebels, who violate the laws that are on the books, who take control of government buildings by force of arms, who kill civilians and rape and maim and rob and pillage against a legitimate sovereign government.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone has witnessed the quote-unquote American, or I'm sorry, quote-unquote Arab Spring, but, you know, we wonder how would our own country look and what would be the response of the government if some of the many militia groups who are mostly Caucasians in various towns and locales who have organized themselves, who have heavily armed themselves, who have prepared bunkers in the woods, what would the response of our government be of an American Spring? What if these militia groups say they've had enough? What if they begin to demand that President Obama step down and President Obama has to respond to force with force? Will the international media say that he's killing his own people? What if these militia groups ally themselves with the support of foreign nations, namely the BRICS countries of India and China and Russia? These are very interesting things that I think Minister Farrakhan helps us to unravel this complicated maze of geopolitics and begin to make it real simple and plain so that we can identify how unjust the behavior and posture of our government is with relationship to Syria. And so as Mr. Swanson talks about the lying and the liars who defend lies, and, you know, the American people have been so thoroughly lied to for such a long time that, you know, hardly anyone even challenges what comes forth as official government reports. The minister, in his book, A Torchlight for America, he discussed this in a section called Hiding the Light.
Yeah,
my mind goes to an article I read, Brother James, from the state of Florida several years ago, where a federal judge ruled in favor of Fox News. There was a court case between Fox and one of their former investigative journalists who had did an investigative piece on Monsanto. But being as Monsanto was a stockholder and a friend of the Fox News Corporation, the editorial staff refused to run the story. And so the journalists complained, and they were retaliated against by losing their jobs. They challenged it in court. They initially won in court, and they won a settlement. Fox appealed it to a higher court. They ruled in their favor, and the court said that even though Fox was in violation of FCC policy, FCC policy that requires news organizations to act with integrity and honesty, FCC policy was not law. And as a result, Fox News had no legal obligation. Now, just listen to this. Had no legal obligation to report the news accurately. Now, we talk about the exporting of democracy around the globe, and that's certainly what many would respond as to my question of why is American policy always to side with rebels? Well, rebels rise up against dictators. They rise up against oppressive regimes. And so since America is a democratic state and has an interest in exporting democracy and seeing democracy flourish abroad, they side with rebels. But no democracy, no representative form of government can essentially be legitimate if the people whose right it is to choose is encumbered by misinformation, disinformation, and lies. So the very fact that in America, news organizations, the Big Six, because most of your media in America is controlled by six corporations.
Mm-hmm.
If they have the legal wherewithal to mislead, to misdirect, and to inaccurately report the news, then now the American people themselves have no power to make their choice of a law, a policy, a position. The people in this misinformation campaign and this dumbing down of the American people, as Mr. Swanson speaks of, the lies and the lying liars who defend them, we have actually seen the usurpation of the democratic rights of the American people. Because if the masses of the people, if the electorate do not have good information, they have no right or no power to choose what is in their best interest. So how could we legitimately seek to export democracy abroad when we have yet to secure democracy in America? No, I think that if you were to ask Minister Farrakhan, he would say the American government is not interested in exporting democracy. American government is interested in exporting the very same status quo that you have in America abroad, where, as the protesters on Wall Street pointed out a year or so ago, where you have a small elite 1% ruling over a massive 99%, you see. And so there's so much that could be spoken on this, but at the heart of why the minister is by himself, at the heart of why the work of spreading his message of truth is so difficult is the fact that the American people are victims of a massive dumbing down process that essentially provides them with entertainment and sensory pleasure while robbing them of their birthright, the right to have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And therefore, any claims of a democracy in America is nothing but symbol, because there is no substance. You know, this is what they want to inflict on Syria. This is what they want to inflict all throughout the Middle East. You know, I shared with some brothers just the other day, Brother James, you know, we discussed this about the problem in the Middle East and how it is often branded as an Islamic problem. And I pointed out to them, I said that, you know, you find that the world's most unstable region right now is the so-called or quote-unquote Middle East. Mm-hmm. And the conflict over there is framed in religious terms. We hear about Islamic terrorists, Islamic jihadists, fundamentalists. And so we are led to believe, falsely, I might add, that those that are fighting in that region are fighting so on the result of their religious beliefs. I said, but most of the world's Muslims populations are not in the Middle East. The largest of the world's Muslims, Muslim populations is in Southeast Asia. Indonesia is the most populous Muslim nation on the planet, followed by Malaysia and the Philippines. Most of your, some 300 million Muslims, in China and other parts of Asia, but yet the Middle East is the most unstable place. How come we don't hear about a lot of terrorism, so-called, in Southeast Asia? No, we hear about instability. We hear about radicalization in the Middle East because this is the place, as the minister pointed out, where there are rich deposits of mineral resources, specifically oil and petroleum, that America and the West must have and must need if they are going to continue the status quo and business as usual. In fact, I love when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan referred to this government and this society as an oil junkie.
Yeah.
Because to me, that is the perfect model to help any person, especially a novice like myself, to understand the complexities of American foreign policy. See, in that part 34 of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us, I told him after that, I said, Minister, you gave to the black community an education in international affairs.
Yeah.
Most of us who live in the inner cities of America, our minds and our thinking does not extend beyond our block. Does
That's
not
right.
extend beyond our part of town. So many in our community, in terms of John and Jane Q. Public, we haven't spoken out against the president because we frankly do not even understand what the hell is going on.
Absolutely.
So the minister gave us a basic education. He broke it down in the classical tradition of a Nation of Islam minister. He made it plain. So that, as we like to say, a fool could understand what's taking place in the Middle East. And so when you look at this country as an oil junkie, see, Brother James, we all know junkies. And
That's
we
right.
understand junkie behavior. And we understand that the junkie will stop at nothing to get his fix.
That's
he will
right.
sell his mother's fur coat. Matter of fact, he will sell his mother to
That's
get
right.
his fix. So just looking at that simple phraseology helps us to understand so many of the moves that this country makes where the Muslim world is concerned, where Africa is concerned. Because, see, we got to remember, there was suffering in Rwanda, and
mm-hmm.
America in the West didn't hardly do anything. There
That's
were Muslims
right.
suffering, Caucasian Muslims suffering in Bosnia. And America
on,
hardly did anything. So this is, we have to look at the humanitarian defense of the president's policies very suspect, because historically there have been other areas where Muslims have been suffering, where darker people have been suffering, and our country chose to stay on the sidelines because it did not threaten their economic interests. So this is a country that, just as the scripture teaches us in the New Testament, wherever a man's treasure is, his heart is also there.
That's right.
So in America's case, wherever her economic interest lies, wherever the corporate interests lie, wherever the interest of the elite lies, then they go and they get a fig leaf, which is a humanitarian justification to enter, but the real goal is to capture control of the natural resources using war and instability of government as a pretext. So, again, we thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan because, you know, most of us, you know, we don't really understand the complexities of what's taking place, and we don't want to be in opposition to the black face of America's president, so we have been neutralized. You know, the Quran says that in their doubt, they waver, meaning that they hesitate. They don't know which way to go because, well, we were told that progress for us was to get a black president, and now the
That's
black
right.
president wants to do what the former white presidents have all done.
Come
Should
on,
we
Dimitri.
Protest against him like we protest against the former white presidents? So most of the people don't understand. So, again, our job as helpers of the minister must be to continue to circulate, and I will say this and shut up, is that the minister is very serious about this campaign. And every person, all of his staff, have a role, have a responsibility as this campaign is concerned. And so it's good that we are discussing this tonight, as this conversation fits within the larger campaign being waged by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to really advise and warn the president, advise and warn the American people not to use force in Syria. You see? So I pray Allah will bless his minister and to bless us to be successful in this campaign so that America does not have to go the way that she is going, because the scripture did say that Babylon could have been saved.
That's right. But she was not. That's right. That's right.
Dear student minister, Dimitri, thank you so much for those statements of facts and that truthful and sincere expression. What it does for me, and I'm sure for others who are listening, it begs the question. As you qualified your statements by saying that you're not necessarily well knowledgeable of geopolitical workings, that is to say, you may not have a degree in it as such, and of course I'm not, and certainly it would be safe to say that most in our community are not. What it begs the question of is those who have been over the decades of our leadership, our black leadership, who have been involved in geopolitical activity discussions up to and including sitting down with the leadership, the presidency of the United States and its cabinet. You would think that which you are expressing, that which we are expressing and understand on our level, certainly has to be understood by them, who I would say the sagacity in geopolitical activities and workings and events is much, 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 much greater than ours. Certainly, they have to know what's going on, but here again, their voices are silent. Their voices are unheard, particularly in this critical hour. I want to read another excerpt from the minister's 34th installment, America's Errant Foreign Policy, and then we'll open up the floor for questions. And as we progress in this show, in our discussion, I want to also ask the panelists if we would address how this affects the rank and file of our community, the black community, the brothers and sisters who probably don't think it affects them, probably are so engrossed in day-to-day living and survival, they really don't have time to stretch their minds to engage in this kind of thinking or this kind of discussion. So I'd like us to address in a real way, how does that affect the brother and sister in the hood? How does it affect the black man, the rank and file, if you will? The excerpt begins as follows. On June 15, 2013, Global Research News reported about a deleted January 29, 2013 British Daily Mail outline article. In their article titled "Deleted Daily Mail Online Article, U.S.-backed plan for chemical weapon attack in Syria to be blamed on Assad," what did the British Daily Mail outline article of January 29th say? In part, leaked emails have allegedly proved that the White House gave the green light to a chemical weapons attack in Syria that could be blamed on Assad's regime. and in turn spur international military action in the devastated country. A report released on Monday, January 28, 2013, contains an email exchange between two senior officials at British-based contractor Britam Defense, where a scheme allegedly approved by Washington is outlined, explaining that Qatar would find rebel forces in Syria to use chemical weapons. Barack Obama made it clear to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad last month in December 2012 that the U.S. would not tolerate Syria using chemical weapons against its own people. The deleted Daily Mail outline article provided a copy of the actual email from David Golding to Philip Doughty, which reads as follows. Phil, we've got a new offer. It's about Syria again. Qataris propose an attractive deal and swear that the idea is approved by Washington. We'll have to deliver a CW, that is chemical weapon, to Holmes, a Soviet origin G shell from Libya, similar to those that Assad should have. They want us to deploy our Ukrainian personnel that should speak Russian and make a video record. Frankly, I don't think it's a good idea, but the sums proposed are enormous. Your opinion? Kind regards, David. And the Daily Mail outline continued by stating, the U.S. State Department has not returned a request for comment on the alleged emails to Mail Online Today at the time of the publication. I'll stop there. Something to consider. Let us open up the lines now and get the audience involved. Sister Aziza, anyone in queue wanting to weigh in this subject matter? Or online?
Yes, sir. Well, we have a question from Brother Eugenio in the chat room. He says, what kind of reputation you think will follow President Obama after his current term in office?
Good question. And, of course, it's open to the panel to respond. Anyone who'd like to respond?
Don't make me pick a question.
We're going to have to draft someone.
Salaam alaikum, Brother Eddie. Can I repeat the question?
Brother Eugenio says, what kind of reputation you think will follow President Obama after his current term?
I think we are familiar with Nelson Mandela, who served, I believe, was 23 years in a prison. And when he came out, he had the motivation and will and want to do something good for South Africa and for the suffering indigenous people of South Africa. And as Minister Farrakhan has shared with us, he was made promises. And when those promises that were promised to him, that caused him to make promises to the people, went unfulfilled, there was left disappointment and anger. Sister and Mother Winnie Mandela left him. There was the same condition among the people. And we respect and love Nelson Mandela, but he has a interesting place in history as not as being the icon of a better South Africa, but not being totally effective. Barack Obama represented a dream for many black people to reach, as brother just said, the thing that we all thought was the apex of liberation for us in America and justification for our suffering, to be president. So he took office, a bright young brother, with the will, the desire to do something good, to do justice to both races, to do justice to the poor, and reconcile the differences that America might be what it presumes to be. And now, as we see, there's disappointment. He was once called the first Jewish president, and now those same Jewish powers have turned their back on him as early as his first term. He gets no reconciliation in the House, in the Senate, or the Congress. It's hard for him to push anything through because those who made him promises, which led him to promise us, have not kept their promise. So now there is disappointment. We stood up for him as long as we could, and we always say he had to clean up the mess that was made 8, 10, 20 years before him and give him more time, but yet we see things get worse, and now we stand at the precipice of another war. So what stands for him, looking in the light of history, stands, I would make the presumption to say, what is left for Nelson Mandela. He will always be honored as the first black man to hold the forbidden seat in a white house. But if he does not heed the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, then he will seal a legacy of ineffectiveness, lost hopes, disappointment, and broken promises. And I'll stick it right there.
Excellent, insightful response, Brother Eddie. I'm in agreement. I hope that helps our brother Eugenio, whose voice I'm very happy to hear always in participation in this show.
Yeah. And I'm just amazed that Brother Eddie, he is, you know, I have to remind myself that Brother Eddie is so young and so gifted, because I think Brother Eddie is 24 years old, and just every time he speaks, he just blows me away. Okay. That's all
I'm saying. Absolutely. And you know, Sister Aziza, this is one of the purposes, goals and objectives of this show, is
absolutely
to unwrap those unwrapped gifts.
Yeah.
That can be great help, at least in our humble estimation, to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and to give them a platform upon which they can be showcased. I hope everyone is listening. But Allah is the best knower. But we have that kind of talent throughout the nation that has been, for whatever reason, unheard and unpresented or unexposed. So, Brother Eddie, we thank Allah for you, dear brother. And we look forward to you at one day, inshallah, becoming a great help to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Thank you, Brother Eddie.
Yes, well, all praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir.
But without him, none of us would have anything to say. So
that is
I'm dying to the honor of Minister Farrakhan. Anything I have to say is only because he has been a teacher and a brother to all of us.
Yeah. All praise is due to Allah. All right, Sister Aziza, the next question.
Yes, sir. Let me remind the listening audience, those of you who are on the phone, if you have a question, please press 1 on your dial pad. Okay, we have another question from Brother Joshua. Okay. He says that the war Armageddon is to come. Why is Farrakhan trying to stop it?
Okay. Someone from the panel, don't all speak at once. We're going to start
Brother Maurice.
We're going to start a conscription movement here with the panel.
Yes, Brother Maurice, where are you?
And start drafting you all who wish to remain silent.
Yes. He knew I was going to call his name. I don't know why he's playing.
Okay, go ahead, Brother Maurice.
Yes, praise be to Allah. Wow, that's a big question for me to have to start off with. But I think what it is that the minister is also giving warnings, and in that warning, there's time. So not saying that the big people, the ones who make these decisions, are necessarily going to listen to what the minister is saying, but the people will, and that will give them time to get their houses in order, because Noah preached 150 years that the water was coming, and then people wasn't trying to believe it, and I believe only like 8 people made it onto the ark. So what the minister is consistently doing, he knows that the war of Armageddon is coming. You know, that real physical part of it is coming, and it can't be stopped. But the warning is such that it may be able to save your life from going in the wrong way. When we stop and we take a look at President Obama's speech that he gave to the American people, and he talked about American exceptionalism. And when you really stop and think about that, because President Putin of Russia challenged him on that when he wrote to the American people. And see, that exceptionalism that President Obama said that, you know, that's what makes America and her people great, is a dangerous thing. Because you begin to think that you're exceptional, you're better than somebody else. That is the mind of Satan, not because you're better because you actually do better, but you're better because you live in America, which is, in my estimation, the house of Satan, the house of sin, but you are better. And that's very dangerous, because if our people buy on to that I am better than this person in that country because I'm in America, I'm an American. So that makes me better. That's the mind of Satan. Iblis did not bow down because he said, I am better than he. So because people, if they buy on to that lie that I'm better than the Syrian people, or I'm better than the Iraqi people, bomb them, destroy them. Yeah, they did that. Bomb them, bomb them, bomb them. Then you have to look at yourself. And we don't have the room to begin to think that we're better than somebody else because we live in America.
That's
and
right.
Don't be foolish enough to think that because you live in America, that truly makes you an American, because it does not. And just because the president in that seat has the same color we may have, does not mean he has the same mind, heart, or motivations that we have. So when we look at what is his legacy that he's leaving, his policies and a lot of his programs is the other side of George Bush. They're the same thing, just a different face doing it. So it's even more harder for us to get the message out, because now the serpent is talking, but he's not showing you a serpent face. He's showing you a face that you think you can relate to, that you think that you share commonality with. And that's a very dangerous thing. So that's why Minister Farrakhan is continually sounding the alarm to wake us up to the time and what must be done for us to make it out of the doom that is coming to the United States of America for what she has done to us and what she continues to do to us and what she heaps on the rest of the world because of her so-called exceptionalism. That is the mind of Satan right there in our face. And the minister is just trying to give us warning. Thank you.
Talk about that.
Thank you. Who was that?
Who?
Brother Maurice.
I had to bear witness to that. That brother was on fire.
Oh,
That was Brother Eddie.
I didn't recognize the voice. I thought we had a new panelist coming in. Which is fine. I mean, you know, if someone got to that point, we'd love to hear from you. But, that was right on point, Brother Maurice. That was right on point.
This is a mighty powerful panel tonight, Brother Dimitri, and Brother Maurice, and Brother Eddie. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Definitely. You know, when I think about how America is posturing herself as the champion of human rights, for all humanity, it is as if the greatest violation of human rights that occurred in America and in Europe and all over the world, in fact, which of course is the transatlantic slave experience, didn't even occur. By what moral justification does she arrogate to herself the champion of human rights on the global level? That's just something to consider. It really, if it were not so serious, it would be laughable. But let's go on, and whatever the next question is, since you all are very hesitant to respond, the next question, Brother Dimitri, are going to draft you to answer it, whatever it may be. If that's all right with you, dear brother.
Yes, sir.
All praises be to Allah. Let's hear another question, Sister Aziza.
Okay, well, Brother Dimitri's question will come from Sister Cheryl. Okay, Sister Cheryl says, if we can't depend on white media to inform us of the truth, how will we ever be, okay, I'm trying to word it to make sense. Okay, if we can't depend on the white media to inform us of truth, how will we ever understand how the war or how this war or any other war affects black people?
Well, that's a very good question. And I would just say to my dear sister, you know, we have to become, as the minister described it, a reader nation. That's the first problem right there. I know all of us on this line are part of the FOI, and we go among our people with an independent source of news and the Final Call newspaper. And these brothers like myself certainly have come across those in our community who refuse to purchase the paper. And many even will admit that they don't read any newspaper. And the periodicals that are popular in the black community contain mostly pictures and have very few words and have nothing to do with serious news at all. And so that's the first obstacle that the black community has to overcome if it wants to be well-informed. You know, as a student of scripture, I'm always amazed at how the Almighty God, fully able and capable of affecting any kind of change among the world's peoples that he desires to. His response to the suffering and the problems and the various crises of humanity has been consistent and some would say very simplistic. He did two things. He gave to the people a man and a book. This is very significant because it suggests that God's primary role and function in the lives of the people is that of a teacher, is that of one revealing or exposing and sharing knowledge. We all know that Prophet Muhammad, historically, his ascendancy to prophethood begins with one simple command, Iqra, which is an Arabic word which means to read. And more expansively, it means to read and proclaim. Or in other words, read and teach. And so our community has that challenge. But for those of us that read and study and try to be well-informed, we have to always seek independent sources of news, those sources that are available online, those sources that are available through Blog Talk Radio, through satellite radio, through international press organizations, even if it's simply routinely listening to the BBC. But we have to get our minds outside of the limited box of views and perspectives that CNN and Fox and MSNBC and ABC and the other mainstream media outlets offer to us, especially in the black community, because media in the black community is a studied and watched reality. It's a manufactured reality. And just as it was on a plantation, there's always concern of what is the mental diet of the former slaves. The Kerner Commission proved this when they began to study the effects of the news media on the riots that took place in the 60s. And they learned that because local incidents of racial injustice became national news items, it created among black people a national sense of community. And when Dr. King was killed, when Malcolm was killed, when other issues took place, there were riots all throughout the country because black people felt the pain of their brothers and sisters in various parts of the country. And so most of us bear witness that the masses of our people up until Trayvon Martin perhaps labored under the notion that America had changed. After all, we have a black president. You see interracial marriages abounding. You know, you have the ability to integrate most areas in society. So most of our people felt that there were no more incidents of racial injustice, discrimination, hatred, racial violence. So as a result, when local issues take place that get no national attention, there's no outcry because we don't even know. We're not informed of that, especially if we're not reading the Final Call newspaper. So we have several challenges in our community. We have to become a reader nation, and we have to avail ourselves actively. We have to be actively engaging in seeking the news. And we're motivated. We can only be motivated by the fact that we know that we're being lied to otherwise. If we are not actively seeking the truth, then we are passively accepting the lie. So once you know you're being lied to, then that kind of forces you to actively seek the truth. Just as Muslims, we know that, you know, the food producers of this society, they put pork in almost everything. So once you know that, now you can be a much more discriminating shopper because you're looking for pork byproducts in soap, in deodorant, and toothpaste, not just the food you put on your plate, but everything that comes in contact with your person. But unless you realize that they are putting this cheap animal-based product in every potential place, you may not look for it unless you're looking for it on your plate. So what happened in that case in Florida, you can read the writings of John Taylor Gatto, Charlotte Isobite Johnson, who talk about the educational system and how it is used as a tool. Compulsory schooling is used as a tool to help dumb down the people. Even in the entertainment world, it recently came out that when our brother T.I. began to renegotiate his music contract, he said that the people at the record company did not like his new image and were uncertain if they were going to invest a lot of money into the new reform T.I., the family man T.I., the father T.I., the husband T.I., the community servant T.I. They were uncomfortable with that new image, you see. Same way it was with our brother, who was a Muslim of the Sunni persuasion, Lupe Fiasco, who had to battle against his record company because they said that, Lupe, we need you to dumb it down. We don't need you to put so much hard truth and current events and social commentary into your music. And so for a while, Lupe didn't release anything, and his fans began to complain and protest. So, again, to go back to that, as the minister said, the light is being hidden, and we have to seek it out. One thing I would suggest is that when you listen to the minister, cite research documentation, because those of us that work with him on the research team, we provide research documentation for the minister. But it is Allah that gives the minister the words to say. It is Allah that gives the minister the ability to use research in the powerful and the profound way he does. When you see Minister Farrakhan use research and it impacts you, you are literally seeing what the scripture says when Jesus turned water into wine. Much of that information that the minister shares is not unknown or new, but filtered through the minister's person, which is Louis Farrakhan, being acted upon by the Spirit of the Almighty God. It causes a dull and dormant, just empirical data that is filed away in someone's closet or on a shelf in a library. It causes that kind of information to come to life and to be used as a tool in the mental resurrection of the masses of the people. But the point that I'm really after is that Global Research News, Brother James just read a couple articles from Global Research News. Well, why don't you go to Global Research News and sign on to get their newsletter, to subscribe to their webpage, so that when news and events that they report come out, they will email you a notification. Or you could regularly visit their news feed, or you could download their app to your cell phone. So these are things, dear sister, the simple things that we could do while we can do them. To become better informed, because you may or may not know there is discussion about placing greater restraints and restrictions over the flow of information that is available on the Internet. As Minister Farrakhan is really making the Internet revolutionary in its utility, there are those that say, well, we need to begin to police it. And so a lot of that is what you can expect that will be associated with Edward Snowden, WikiLeaks. See, all of these are incidents that will justify greater control of the Internet, because Louis Farrakhan is on the Internet. CBS, ABC, NBC, they've blacked out the minister. The minister can speak to 20,000 people in your city or town, and there will hardly be two lines written about it in a local newspaper. That is by design. So now that the minister is bypassing that on the internet, they are determined we have to do something about the internet. So my point is, while we still can have full range of access to Al Jazeera, to the BBC, to Press TV, to RT TV News, let's make sure that we are allowing those outlets to service us in our need to be well informed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes,
so much,
sir, and don't forget, we are right here. We're right here, so you can hear more from Brother Demetric. He comes on often. We have a lot of informed guests that comes on, so until they lay me down, we're going to be right here. So that's another source of information for you. I just wanted to add that.
That's right. That's right. Well, I thank you for adding it, because it was on my mind to mention this program and to certainly promote it, because Blog Talk Radio is essentially, see, what we're doing, beloved brothers and sisters, is in keeping with the ideals of the founding fathers. You know, the minister said, you know, the founding fathers held slaves, but much of what they did was guided by God. And so them in creating a representative democracy, which is something of a prototype of the kingdom of God. So this is democracy, or the rule of the people, not the demon people, but the righteous people, in its purest form, where people can essentially have the power to influence. That's what I see in Blog Talk Radio, common, ordinary, average, everyday brothers and sisters who believe in an idea, who believe in a cause, that no longer have the high, expensive barriers placed in their way, keeping them from being able to express themselves and shape public opinion. The same thing is the case with actual blogs. When you hear people talk about the blogosphere, and Brother Jesse can certainly speak to social media and how it has leveled somewhat the playing field in the marketplace of ideas, where truth and falsehood vie and compete with one another in the proverbial battle in the sky, which is a battle for the minds of the people. Blog Talk Radio is a weapon in the battle in the sky. And this program, Put on a New Man, should be promoted. We should encourage our family, loved ones, and friends to listen to it. And all of the Blog Talk programs that we hear from the members of the Nation of Islam, Minister Ava Muhammad's program, which I don't know if it's still going because she just began a broadcast radio program in Chicago, but there are many nationalist brothers and sisters. So we got to really support these mediums. So thank you, Sister Gidja, for reminding me, because I did want to say that.
Yes, and Brother Maurice, who is the five-star general for the Defenders of Farrakhan, he has a show on too. So, you know, I don't want anybody to misunderstand that when I leave every night, I tell you all one nation, one love, and that's because we are not in competition with one another, but we spread out to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan get this message. And so we are trying to reach the masses of the people and keep them informed on the course that the minister is on, because we cannot depend on anyone else to inform us on anything that's going to benefit us as a people and anything that is going to bring us closer to our God and unify our people. So it is our duty, and particularly those of us who have been blessed with this knowledge and those of us who have been blessed to be amongst the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and hear his teachings and follow him and listen to his words, we have a responsibility to go back to the masses and share that word. So that is the whole purpose of all of us. I know that's Brother Maurice's purpose and all of the sisters, Sister Cassandra, and many other brothers and sisters within the Nation of Islam. Our goal is to help the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan bring his people to God. So thank you for that time, Brother James.
Oh, by all means, dear sister. I could not have said it better, nor will I attempt to. And I mean, you've expressed our heart's sentiment, our purpose, and our objective, dear sister. And I want to say on that note, listen, none of this, of course, by the grace of Allah, it all happens, but none of this would be happening if it were not for the gracious invitation that our sister has offered to those of us who are hosting any particular show on this network, Nation Building Movement, the owner of which is our dear sister, Sister Queen Mariam Muhammad, Sister Aziza Mariam Muhammad, and also known as Sister Gidget. And I am not hesitant in expressing my thanks to Allah for you, dear sister, and the wonderful opportunity that you have given me personally to serve and help and assist the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan with the spreading of his word of truth. So thank you,
all praises
dear
to Allah.
All praises to Allah.
The honor is ours, Brother James, because you are a very wonderful and dedicated student minister. And we thank Allah for you because you are so dedicated to getting these teachings out. And you never hesitate to speak. You never hesitate to represent our nation in a very professional way. And so you have, every time I put up an advertisement, there are so many people who say they stood up because of you. So you are one of our treasures. You have given over 40 years of your life. So, brother, trust and believe me when I say that the honor is certainly, certainly ours. And we love you, and we appreciate your servitude and your service that you continuously give. And also to Sister Joanne, who
she's
going to kill me. But whatever time that you're taking from her, we appreciate her as well for sharing you with us. So thank you too, Sister Joanne.
And thank you for mentioning that. She is, of course, my quiet strength, the wind beneath my wings, and has indeed supported me in sometimes very, very, very adverse, under very adverse conditions. And, of course, some of you who have heard my testimony know that. But I appreciate you recognizing the contribution of my wife. And Brother Demetric will tell you also, and all of Brother Eddie and all of you will, Brother Maurice and all of you will attest to the importance of having a believing wife. All praise is due to Allah. So, listen, let us go on before we get so mushy we'll be in tears.
Yeah, especially Brother James. He loves him from Sister Joanne.
Yes, indeed. No question about that. Now, let's go on. We're moving, of course, to the last 10 minutes of the show. I want to read one more excerpt and then allow everyone on the panel to respond to it. And it deals specifically with us, a message of admonition, warning, and guidance to us. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan states, well, Judgment starts first in the house of God. The Holy Land is under divine judgment, and so the nation of Islam are we. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote of the Nation of Islam in 1957, he said, quote, "At the present time, the Nation of Islam is honeycombed with these rotten characters, disbelievers and hypocrites, people who say that they believe they are only there to destroy the Nation of Islam. As it was in 1957, so it is in 2013. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad then said to his followers, "Be patient, for Allah promised that he will weed out his own kingdom in his own good time." So, to the Nation of Islam in the West, the weeding has now begun. The Holy Quran, Surah 5, Al-Ma'idah, the food, verse 67, it reads, "O Messenger, deliver that which has been revealed to thee from thy Lord, and if thou do it not, thou hast not delivered his message, and Allah will protect thee from men. Surely Allah guides not the disbelieving people." I, Louis Farrakhan, the minister continues, am delivering that message, and I fear not, for Allah promises if that message is delivered, surely he will protect us from men. So to Mecca and to us, remember the words of Allah, that he would bring someone else in our place that would be humble toward the believer and mighty against the disbeliever. Is that verse referring to those presently in power in Arabia and in the Muslim world? Or is this referring to others that Allah is preparing to take their place? And to those in the Nation of Islam in positions of leadership, is this referring to you? Is Allah preparing someone to take your place? And I'll stop right there so that we can have time for all three panelists to respond. Okay, here we go again. Brother Maurice, you respond.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. What you just read is so very important, because not only does it tell us what happened yesterday, but it tells us what's happening today.
That's
and
right.
One thing that we have to make sure that we understand, that by us being Muslims in the Nation of Islam, under the leadership of Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, accepting the fact that Master Farah Muhammad came to North America to find us, to deliver us, to save us, and knowing that we have a responsibility, that's why the Minister Farrakhan changed the apostrophe S on Savior's Day and let us all know that we are saviors and we are to go after our people.
Right.
We have to understand that Minister Farrakhan is doing the fighting, but we too have to join in and do the fighting. There is no longer room that we can just sit around and say, look what the minister do, but we don't support what he do with the same actions. We have to grow up into the understanding of just as Cain and Abel. Abel gave his life. Gave life. That's what the animal represents. Cain worked the ground. He didn't give the life. And being a Muslim is about a life that we have to live and take away that other life that was no good for us. So we got to understand that we have to keep our duty as we are instructed.
We have to do the things that Allah will be pleased with. The minister said, let's go. Go to our people. When you find them hurting, go. Do this, do that. He's given us the instructions of how we are to live our life. We are washed clean in the blood of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That blood that is washed clean is the life force that we have to get into in order to be saved, in order to be a savior to our people. Are we washed clean in the blood of the Lamb? And the only way we're going to know that is get up and do that work of the Lamb. Thank you, beloved.
Thank you, Brother Maurice. And as always, dear brother, we're honored to have you on this show and honored, really, and edified to listen to you whenever you speak on these airways. Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Well, first to follow up behind Brother Maurice about leadership and those in the Nation of Islam, there was a discussion group on Facebook I was involved in, and the question was, do we see any difference between ourselves who become registered and those who are outliers or just supporters of the Nation of Islam? There is no difference in the grand scheme of things, because our sole mission is the delivery of the 40 or 50 million to the Lamb of God. But those who have become registered, we have volunteered and pledged our total being to give our total self to do the work that Master Farag Muhammad began when he broke away from the 24 elders or the 24 scientists to do what was deemed impossible by the others, that we were too far gone to be saved. So we believe that that is not an impossibility. So we are not above or set apart, but we have humbled ourselves to servants of our people and through servants to the world to represent His truth, to do and assist who we believe is God in person, to do what was believed by the writers of Scripture could not be done. And it will be done, as His light is the light that caused the elders to seal the books, because His wisdom was too bright. But we absolutely, absolutely believe and engage in what we do, because we want to see not just our people free, but we want to see the entire world free from the grip of Satan. We know that it begins with us, but we follow Minister Farrakhan in the second phase of the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that he would get the whole world. This is the man who is the one prophesied to speak to the multitudes. And social media, as I believe Brother Maurice was talking about, social media, the internet, reaching millions of people at a time. You know, Jesus of 2,000 years ago didn't do that. You know, He is calling out Satan himself, and we are trying to work with him. So what I'm saying, and in the spirit of that verse that Brother Minister James read, we have a heavy and weighty work to do, but we are all, registered or not, responsible for the truth, the spread of the truth, because only by the truth will all of us be set free from the grip of Satan. Paul said, and I was reminded of this when it was Brother Demetri who was talking about the case of Fox News against one of their reporters, and they said that they had no legal obligation to speak the truth. So they went to higher courts. Paul said, we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers,
and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. That is what we are doing. We are standing up with truth against wickedness in high places, against institutionalized destruction of the entire human family. But that is where I'll put a pin in it to best respond.
Anybody there?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Brother Dimitri.
Okay. I was finished.
A wonderful Brother Eddie. Brother Dimitri, we'll close with you.
Well, I think that everything that the minister has pointed out once again goes to him being a faithful warner, warning to every sector of the human family, as they like to say sometimes, from the streets to the suites.
Mm-hmm.
The minister has been a faithful warner to every sector of the human family. He does not just speak truth to power, but he also gives the little man, or the little woman, if you will, their marching orders. And he has let all of us know that in the final analysis, just as Allah has written in Scripture, that Allah will judge us. He will judge us by our works. He will judge us by our actions. And he will judge our works and our actions in the light of our motives and our intentions. And so as he lifts his voice to warn the Mecca of the East, he simultaneously lifts his voice to warn the Mecca of the West.
Go ahead, brother.
And all of us who are sincere believers, because the Quran, as it introduces itself, it wastes no time allowing those who are not sincere believers to assume that its message is for them. The Quran,
mm-hmm,
early on in Surah 2 says, this is a book that is a guide for those who believe and
Jeez.
Keep their duty and establish prayer, pay the poor rate, and of the hereafter they are sure. This book and this guidance is for a select group of people. And so any of us who are sincere, in fact, Master Farhad Muhammad, in his addressing the students in the lessons, he let us know that we could practice the labor if we were sincere.
That's right.
But we are living in a day and a time where the affection of men's hearts grows cold. And it is very challenging to find sincerity. It is very difficult to find genuineness. It is very difficult to see those who would offer charity and not follow it with reproach. It is very difficult to find those who do not do favor seeking gain. So I tried to search my own soul, my own heart, to make sure that what I do it for the right motive, for the right intention. I don't want to, upon the return of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I don't want him to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I know you not. Because those are the words that's put in the mouth of Jesus in the Scripture. But they will either be spoken by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan upon their return.
That's
so
right.
The minister's warning to the nation and to Mecca and to Jerusalem is very, very important. Because the world is filled with religion, but the world is lacking in righteousness.
And so hopefully Allah will equip the membership of the Nation of Islam to be a model community of believers in God, situated right here in America, as Brother Maurice put it, the house of Shaitan, the place where you can do as you please and where you will be fought if you do what pleases God. I pray that the nation will really work to be that model community, that whether you are Christian, Jewish, Muslim, or agnostic, and when you look in at the Nation of Islam, you will find a group of sincere believers who love God, who love truth, and love the way of righteousness of God and are striving to practice it. And you will find it as an inspiration to you and what you believe in, and a place where you will feel at home if you are sincere and you want to give up this world's way of life and practice the righteousness of God. So the minister's warning is apropos, it's appropriate, and all of us should really study that portion of it, because that, in my opinion, is the minister, we could say, going off script, but it's really not going off script, because the script is written on his heart, and it was written on his heart when he went to the wheel in 1985. But since our time has ended and we can't talk about the wheel tonight, we have to come back and talk more about it, because
you're going to hear
Minister Farrakhan talk more about that, that the American people know as the so-called UFOs. But as we like to say, that's a subject for another time. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you so much. What a wonderful way to tie our show up in a wonderful, wonderful night.
I'm sorry, Brother James. I'm sorry. I have to ask this question because Sister Leslie asked me to ask Brother Dimitri this question, and I forgot. So if you don't mind,
no
before we go.
No apology necessary, sis. You're at the helm. You don't have to apologize to me.
I just do want you to end the show before we ask this question to Brother Dimitri from Sister Leslie Johnson. She's in Newark, New Jersey. She says, with no jobs, how do we encourage our youth not to seek the military? My son will be graduating from high school this summer, and he has not got accepted into any university and is talking about going to the Marines. With everything that is going on right now, I do not want to lose my son to unnecessary political war.
Thank you, Sister Aziza. That's a very excellent question, very timely. Who would like to respond?
Well, she asked for Brother Dimitri.
Oh, okay, very good. Yes,
yes,
that's right.
She did.
Okay, excellent.
Well, I agree with Brother James. That's a real important question that really deserves a whole show. Because the simplest way to put it, you know, is it's better to be poor and alive than to have money and be deceased. And, you know, that may be somewhat crude, but essentially that is the ugly choice that many young brothers and sisters find themselves in as a result of the economic climate in America, and as a result of us as their parents and their elders from the community. And I'm not just speaking at my sister as a parent, but all of us. We have not prepared adequately for our young people in an economic way. But, you know, economics and business is not very complicated. You know, Jesus described the foxes having holes, the birds having nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. And the fox has a hole because the fox engages in a natural economic system. The bird has a nest because he engages in a natural economic system. And he lives his little bird life, the fox lives his little fox life, in accordance to the nature in which the bird and the fox have been created, whereby Allah gave every creature the ability to provide for itself and to be self-sufficient beneath the umbrella of its dependency on its creator. So I would encourage our sister to sit down with her son to talk about ways to create economic opportunities for himself. One of the things that we have to consider as models for the quote-unquote African-American community that we may have not looked at are some of the immigrant models. You know, we were steered in the direction of non-economic liberalism by our so-called friends in the Jewish community, which is really a slap in the face and an indicator of their unfriendliness to us in reality, because of all people, the Jewish people know the value of economic strength as it produces political strength. But they encouraged our leadership to go after political strength, having no economic strength that would justify it. So I would encourage her in the short time that we have to sit down and talk about ways to create an economic reality. You know, a study came out just yesterday that many of the college graduates are finding that they now have to move back into the home of their parents because even though they got a degree, they now are saddled down with student loan debt.
That's right.
And the
That's
thought
right.
in my mind came to me, well, if the new reality is that children have to live at home with their parents longer, then why not a child living in its parents' home start a business while living in its parents' home with its parents as a base of support,
That's
a base of, he doesn't have to pay rent. He doesn't have to pay utility. He could focus entirely on the development and the creation of an economic vehicle that would be a benefit to himself and ultimately to his parents and the community. We know that in the immigrant model, this is often employed. Many times, 3, 4, 5, or 6 immigrant families live under one roof, and they begin to pool their resources. And so in addition to this new phenomenon, you have many American families that are purchasing or building what they call multi-generational homes. Well, what is a multi-generational home? That's where grandma is there, mom is there, the son and his family is there. Not everybody in a two-room apartment, but everybody in a large enough home where everybody has their own space, so that they begin to pool resources, building an asset that will be able to be passed from one generation to the next generation, and building businesses, building stores and service businesses so that we don't have to go to the army, go to the military. That's what the government wants us to do. And I know that my sister is not a bad parent. I know that some of the things I'm saying, not the first time she's heard it, but she must plead with her son. She must present the facts to her son that there is another way, there's a better way than to join a military that is being ruled by the enemies of the Earth's citizens. And those are those who are international bankers, multinational corporations. So do what you can, sister, to plead with your son. Expose him to the ministry of Minister Farrakhan and let him know and ensure him that you are there, that his father's there, that there's a support system there that will help him if he has a vision, if he has an industrious, hardworking spirit and work ethic, and he sincerely wants to do something that he could support himself, he could live there with you and his family as he develops and comes up off the ground. Many of us, we left home too early, and we went out and we started from scratch. We started from zero. When our white counterparts, they left home, and they left with a good send-off because they were the beneficiaries of the wealth that was created in the days of their grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would just say, as black people, at a certain point in our sojourn, many of us developed a very bad attitude towards leaving wealth to our children. I often hear brothers and sisters say, well, you know, I'm not leaving nothing for nobody to fight over. Stop it.
That's right.
Because you cannot control whether anybody fights or doesn't fight over anything that is left or not left after you have passed on. Stop using that philosophy to not to do what Scripture demands of a good father and a good mother, which is to leave something after them for their children. But you find many of us, we relish the fact, I'm going to consume all my wealth, I'm going to consume all my access and property while I'm living, so it's nothing for nobody to fight. We have to get rid of that poisonous ideology, because that's the very idea that our enemy relies upon, that each successive generation of young brothers and sisters will start from zero. Shouldn't somebody be able to start from one, or
come
from
on,
two, or from five? All of us leave our parents' home going into debt, starting from nothing. And what use is it to have a mother and a father if you have to leave home starting with nothing? What did mom and dad prepare for the young one upon their eventual leaving of the nest?
Teach, brother.
We have to really think about the way we live our life to ensure that we are not carrying the burden philosophies of plantation life into the modern era. Let us look at our Mexican brothers and sisters, our Asian brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters from Africa and Cuba. Look at how they relate to their children. Look at how they relate to economics. And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say, let's join on to our own kind. That doesn't mean go out and marry someone of a different ethnicity. It means to join them in principle. Join them in the spirit to do for self, to love self, and to build a community for self. So, it's so much I could say, but I know we don't have a bottomless cup of time. So maybe if it is the will of Allah and we have opportunity to come back, we can go more into that, because I'm sure that my sister's dilemma is a dilemma that many brothers and sisters are facing. I just saw on the page today a sister and her daughter was in a photo in a uniform that looked like a uniform for the military, but the sister was a Muslim, and she was proud of her child in the military uniform. But I wondered to myself, you know, is this a U.S. military uniform? Maybe it's a private school uniform. I didn't know, but the thought came to my mind that certainly in this climate of the drumbeat of war, no righteous mother could celebrate the induction of their children into the U.S. military. But maybe it was not that kind of uniform, but that thought entered into my mind. So maybe at a certain point, Brother James and Sister Aziza.
Brother Demetric. Yeah,
and that is a part of the U.S. military preparatory, right? That prepares you for the U.S. military, right?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
That's unfortunate, but it's true.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to add, if you don't mind, I just wanted to tell her, you know, I understand how young men may desire to be independent. But, sister, I just want to tell you, you know, really encourage him not to go to the military. Even if he does come back, the one that you send away or allow to go, he may not come back. Our late brother John Muhammad is a very good example of that, now known as the DC sniper, but I can bear witness within my own family, with many people that I've counseled, that who you send over there may not necessarily return to you. He is so determined to be a soldier, then we have a nation that he can fight for. And
right.
He can stand up right there in Newark, New Jersey. If I'm not mistaken, that's Muhammad Shams number 25. And it's, you know, it is so far beyond religion now. It's about saving our people. I encourage all young men and women to visit your local Muhammad's Mosque, not even for the purpose, excuse me, of religion or spirituality, but for the purpose of growth and development and a means of education for survival, because no institution is teaching our children how to survive what is coming to our people. And if you as parents don't take on the responsibility of getting that information to them, then you as a parent have failed. And I'm sorry, it's harsh, but it's absolutely true. Because once you teach a child, train the child which way to go, yes, at that point it is up to them. But if you don't even give them a fair shot by giving them the information and the education that they need to move forward, then that burden and that blood is on your hands. So you have to take the responsibility of parenting and teaching and not dependent on institutions to do your job. Education begins and remains at home.
That's
and
right.
I just wanted to give that tidbit of information to her. So, sister, take him right there to Muhammad's Mosque number 25. Let him get among some soldiers who will love him, who will embrace him, who will educate him, who will teach him how to survive. And if you believe in God, however you believe in him, Allah, God, is sufficient.
That's right.
And that's all I want to say.
Beautifully said, sis. All praises due to Allah.
And thank you, Brother Demetric, for answering Sister Leslie's question. Beautiful response. Thank you so much. I didn't want to leave that question unanswered. You know, as a juvenile court advocate, I'm very passionate about children. They are my babies. So we have to look out for the youth. They are our future. And we all have a responsibility to them.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay, Brother James, anything you want to say before we close? We already overtime. We might as well just run.
Yes, ma'am. And listen, you know, I want to thank, reiterate our gratitude to Brother Demetric and, of course, our other panelists and, by all means, the listening audience. And for our dear sister, to our dear sister who asked that question, a most profound a necessary question, which was answered beautifully and clearly. And I'm sure that my sister is not the only one in the audience who may be having that same dilemma, that same circumstance. I since I'm given the opportunity, I will say this. You know, our book, Quran, states, by the words of Allah, this book, in it, there is no doubt. It is a guidance for those who believe and do good.
and of the hereafter they are assured. We must not negate Allah God's promise. This is the Creator's nation, dear sister, of which you are a part. And no matter how things look conditionally and by way of circumstance, His hand is in it and over it. And so, therefore, He promises by the guidance and the conditions set forth in His word, the Quran, that we will have all that we need and some if we are obedient to Him. And so I would use those words of Allah in the Quran. Hold fast to them, dear sister. Allah God is the only reality. I hear a lot of people say, you know, everything is real, and Muslims, particularly in the Nation of Islam, love to say that. Everything is real, brother. So what I have learned by the grace of Allah, and am learning, is that Allah God is the only reality. So no matter how things look, sister, He has promised those of us who are obedient to Him and His servant and do good, the assurance of paradise, the insurance or assurance of the hereafter. And verily, Allah breaks not His promise. So that's a bit of a spiritual advice, hopefully encouragement to you and to us all. Allah God is the only reality in any circumstance. Yes, we have obligations to act according to our ability and according to our wisdom. However, Almighty God Allah is Maliki Yawmiddin, master of the day of judgment, the day in which we live. And so therefore, His hand is in it, and as the master of it, He can grant whatever He pleases, withhold whatever He pleases, forgive whatever He pleases, direct whatever He pleases, stop whatever He pleases, and grant whatever He pleases. Seek refuge in Allah. Thank you for allowing me to say that, Sister Aziza. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, well, before we go, I want to give a special thank you to Brother Maurice and Brother Eddie, my brothers who always come to my rescue whenever I need you. Yeah. I love you both so much, and thank you so very, very much for coming on and joining us tonight. And join us tomorrow. Come out and support our youth with Young, Gifted, and Black. We'll be on back with Brother Ronnie tomorrow, 8 p.m. Central. He has another powerful, powerful show lined up for us tomorrow. And, of course, on Sunday, we'll be back at 6:30 p.m. Central for Economic Development with Brother Vernon. And on Monday, we'll be here at 8 p.m. Central, of course, with Brother Kareem on Conscious Black Nation. On Tuesday, Brother Jihad is back live with out on the front line, with the Fruit of Islam. And he, Brother Demetric, will be talking about, I think this is the 28th anniversary of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan going on the wheel. So he's going to be covering that topic on Tuesday. So inshallah, if you're able, I hope you're able to call in or tune in to that. And on Wednesday, DJ Black Caesar and Friends will be back with our hip hop comedy show. And on Thursday, I will be back at 8 o'clock p.m. Central. And my subject this week is Why Won't the Black Woman Submit? And I know Brother Maurice is going to help me out with that one. And on Friday, of course, we'll be right back here with Student Minister James Muhammad with our live study group, Put On the New Man. So So that's our show for the night, and that's our lineup for the week. May Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding. We are one nation. We have one love. Assalamu alaikum, family. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam, and good night to all.
Good night.